Father, please be with us now as we contemplate these great words from Proverbs. Give us hearts open to receive, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Please do sit down. You may wish to turn to page 635 in the Church Bibles. Well, in the folly of my youth, I went on holiday to Tunisia. That wasn't a foolish thing to do in itself. I had a lovely holiday, except that I came back with a terrible dose of dysentery. But even that wasn't the foolish thing that happened. I mean, that was just bad luck, catching dysentery on holiday. What was foolish, that after several days of having to eat dry toast and water, I got fed up and tried some baked beans. Yes, exactly. As the doctor came to see me, as I was in agony, said, that wasn't a very sensible thing to do now, was it? Well, today we begin a series looking at the Old Testament book of Proverbs, and it's a great book all about wisdom. But as we start, what exactly is wisdom? Let me start by saying what wisdom is not. Wisdom is not about intelligence. I've known many people who are incredibly brainy. Real boffins in their field, and some of them are, well, they're just not wise. They seem to fail to live well day to day. Some of them, their dress sense is poor. Some of them eat the wrong foods. Some of them just can't manage their money and get into debt. So they may be brainy, but they fail to do life well. And neither is wisdom necessarily about morality. Of course, very often it is. But sometimes wisdom is simply about making the best choice when faced with a decision. It's about being discerning. It's about having common sense. And if you think about it, when I ate those baked beans, I wasn't doing anything morally wrong. I wasn't breaking any of God's commandments. I was simply doing a very foolish thing. So if I was to write a proverb, it might be something like this. Better be fed up eating dry toast without tasty beans than be doubled up in pain. Might not be catchy, but it is good and wise advice. For those with dysentery, certainly. And that's what the book of Proverbs is all about. It's full of good advice about how to live life well. It is about wisdom. Sometimes it is about morality, sometimes it isn't. But it presents us with a choice. The way of wisdom and of living life well, or the way of folly. If you look at the very first verse in the book, you'll see how the book is described. Verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. So the book is full of proverbs that King Solomon collated together. Now many of those proverbs he wrote himself. There's some sections of the book, however, attributed to other people. And I think that Solomon, being a wise and sensible chap, what he's done is he's collated them all together so that we can benefit from it, even almost 3,000 years later. This morning we're going to look at the first 19 verses of the book of Proverbs. We're going to see three things. We're going to see, firstly, the benefits of wisdom. Then we'll look at the source or foundation of wisdom. And finally, the consequences of not following wisdom. So firstly, verses 2 to 6, we see the benefits of wisdom. And we've already started to think about this. Wisdom is all about doing life well. And this is about the insight so that we can do life well. It's about gaining the gift of discernment so we can make the best choices, the right choices, for all the decisions that we make day to day. So verse 2. Talks about attaining wisdom and discipline so we can understand words of insight. Verse 3 talks about the simple learning prudence. Talks about the youth learning discretion. And isn't that what parents do with children? We teach them not to cross the road until they've checked it's clear. We teach them that although chocolate is delicious, you need a more balanced diet. That can be hard work teaching children that, but it will benefit them in the long run. It is wise advice. But verse 3 also talks about how wisdom enables us to do what is right and just and fair. So a wise person is the one who knows how to make choices that result in righteousness, justice, equity. And all of that is going to make for a good society, isn't it? The more people there are who act wisely, well, the more a community will flourish. So we can see there's many benefits to wisdom. Wisdom guides us to do what is right and good and, well, just sensible. And it leads to flourishing. So do we want to flourish? Do we want our families to flourish? Do we want this church to flourish? Do we want our village of Elmswell to flourish? Well, we seek to be wise. And even if you are already pretty wise, well, go deeper. Listen to verses 5 and 6. Let the wise listen, those already wise. Let them listen and add to their learning. And let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. In a nutshell, the book of Proverbs is a warehouse full of advice to those who want to become wiser and so flourish. And this brings us to my second heading this morning, the source or foundation of true wisdom. Ultimately, where does this wisdom come from? Where did Solomon receive this wisdom that he collated for us? Well, verse 7 tells us, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." The source of true wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Now, the fear of the Lord's not a quaking in the boots, terror sort of fear. It's much more like a deep and awesome reverence for God and his word. If we think about it, it makes sense. The Lord is our creator. He knows how we're wired. So surely he knows what is best for us. We learn also in the Bible that the Lord is our judge. He will hold us accountable for what we do with life. That should make us rightly fearful. But at the same time, we can be confident because we know that God wants what is best for us and wants us to flourish for all eternity. So this healthy fear, this awesome reverence and acknowledgement that the Lord is the one who knows what is best and is in charge, well, that ultimately is the foundation of all wisdom. And really, to neglect that really is stupid. It's folly. And that's what we see in the second half of verse 7. Fools despise wisdom and discipline, which means it's foolishness to ignore the Lord or to set up our own rules or to listen to others. And that's the heart of sin, really. More on that in a moment. But for the time being, just notice how the book of Proverbs sets up this choice for us. On the one hand, we can seek wisdom, which is ultimately to be found in paying due attention and obedience to God's word, or we can be foolish, ignore the Lord and his good advice. The phrase that the fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom, you know, crops up right the way through the book of Proverbs, at least a dozen times. It's here at the start and it's there right at the end. And the end's quite fascinating because the end of Proverbs is all about this woman of noble character. She is a wise woman who lives life well. And right there, at the end of the description about her, the second last verse of the book, we see the phrase again. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Of course, Solomon became famous, didn't he, across the ancient world for his wisdom. And people came from far and wide to seek his advice. The Queen of Sheba, she travelled a great distance to come to Solomon. Why did she do that? She had a kingdom to run. Well, she knew that in order to run her kingdom, getting wisdom was the priority. It was worth the journey. She knew that only with wisdom would her kingdom truly flourish. And that challenges us, I think, about our own priorities. Will we follow this example of the noble woman at the end of Proverbs, or the Queen of Sheba, in making wisdom a top priority for us? Because if we wish to live life well, if we want to flourish, then fear the Lord and seek out his wisdom. As I say, Solomon became renowned for his wisdom, but in our second reading today, you might have noticed that Jesus describes himself as one even greater than wise Solomon. We could in fact say that Jesus is wisdom incarnate. He is the Lord himself. And so, in particular, it's to the words of Jesus we should go if we want to be wise and flourish. And that's what Jesus says at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, after all that good advice. Jesus says, "Now everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. So when the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. It had its foundation on the fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom, the words of Jesus." And Jesus goes on, "Anyone who hears these words of wisdom, these words of mine, and does not put them into practice, well, he's like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. So when the rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, it fell with a great crash." True wisdom, then, is found in fearing the Lord and in listening to his word, both here in Proverbs, but especially those words on the lips of Jesus. So we've heard about the benefits of wisdom, and we've heard how the source and foundation of wisdom are to be found in this healthy respect and fear of the Lord. What about the consequences then of not following wisdom? Well, there's much that Proverbs has to say, but we get a taster of it in the next few verses, verses 8 to 19. And we get that contrast again. Verses 8 and 9, you get the good side. The young man being spoken to here is encouraged to listen to his parents' instructions. Parents often know what is right. We often decide that they don't as teenagers, but we soon realise that they are right. Well, here there is good parental wisdom. Presumably to fear the Lord and listen to his ways, that's the right choice to make. But then verse 10 onwards, we start to hear the warning of giving in to peer pressure. There's the warning of making a fast buck at other people's expense. So verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them, because that would be the wrong choice to make." And the description here is really quite shocking. This young man is being enticed to join a criminal gang. And this criminal gang is bent on getting rich by mugging, even murdering innocent people walking down the street. And it sounds awful, but there's an attraction in it, because for the young man here, the enticement is to join a band of brothers and gain a sense of belonging and a sense of purpose as a disaffected youth. Now that can be so appealing. We see it, don't we, with all those youths going over to join Islamic State. We think they must be nuts, but they're looking to join the wrong crowd because they're looking for a sense of belonging. Or I was watching a disturbing programme a few years ago about gang culture in South London. And the pressure that teenagers face in some of the suburbs is horrendous. They're pressurised into stealing, into having sex way too young, and into joining in a riot. And they go along with it. Why? Because they want to be in with the crowd. Verse 14 sums it up. Listen to what they say. "Throw in your lot with us. We'll share a common purse. You can become one of us," they say. How cool is that? But the warning of Proverbs is, do not be deceived. Don't go along with this lot. Verses 18 and 19. "These men lie in wait for their own blood. They waylay only themselves. Such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it." So it might look sexy and exciting, but in the end, it will lead to ruin and death. Maybe not in this life, but certainly in the next. Jesus himself said, "What point is there in gaining the whole world if you're going to end up forfeiting your soul?" Of course, the temptation for us may be to write off these verses as a bit irrelevant to us. I'm sorry to say it, but none of us are young men here. At our age, we're unlikely to be tempted to join a criminal gang. But you know, the pressure of peers to entice us to despise God's wisdom and discipline very much active. I think of a lady who seemed to be quite open to hearing about the ways of the Lord. She even came to a Discovering Christianity course one evening a few years ago, and then she immediately stopped coming because she got back home and her husband had disapproved. And she felt embarrassed when her husband said, "What do you want to mix with those strange folk for?" And she felt she'd be betraying her husband if she took Christianity any further. So you see, peer pressure is strong at any age. Or take Bob, for example. In his 40s, he went out with some work colleagues one evening, and they ventured off to a strip club. He said he was not going in, he was off home. He got teased greatly about it. And he could feel the temptation to go in with them, but he didn't, because he knew that his brother's marriage had been destroyed because of pornography. And he was wise, he did not want his marriage to head the same way. And you can hear the choice of Proverbs right there, between the wise way that leads to flourishing and a healthy marriage, and the foolish way that leads to destruction. And unfortunately, peer pressure even exists in the church. Remember, a lady once spoke about the time she first started going to her church prayer meeting. And her church friends mocked her, saying, "What's got into you? You're going to become a nun next? Do you really want to get this serious?" The lady, however, stuck with it, showing who she feared most. She cared more for what God thought than what her friends thought. So she kept on going to the prayer meeting, although there was that temptation not to. But she had that choice. Will I go deeper with God, gain more wisdom, flourish, or shall I avoid a bit of mocking? She chose wisdom. And years later she commented that that was the right choice to make. But she used a particular phrase, which I think is dynamite. She said, "You know, the best advice is choose your friends carefully." And that's what we see here. Choose your friends carefully. Choose friends who will join you in seeking wisdom, rather than mocking it and heading down the path that leads to destruction. Well, this morning we've been introduced to this wonderful Old Testament book of wisdom. We've seen the benefits of wisdom in that it enables us to live life well. And it enables us to flourish now and into eternity. We've seen how the source or the foundation of true wisdom lies in this healthy fear of the Lord. So listen to his guidance, both here in Proverbs and ultimately to that one who is greater even than Solomon, Jesus Christ. If we listen and put into practice his teaching, then we're like the wise man who built his house on the rock, and it will not be washed away. Finally, we have seen the consequences of not following true wisdom. The road that leads to destruction. The house built on sand that is washed away. After all, Jesus said, "What point is there in gaining the whole world but forfeiting your soul?" Riches here do not last, but those who fear the Lord will flourish forever. And may we be those who fear the Lord and seek true wisdom. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are the source of all good things, and that you love to give us wisdom if we ask for it. Help us to seek you, to have that healthy fear of you, to listen out for the way of wisdom, and to act upon those words. In Jesus' name, amen.